To prosper and be in health is something we all naturally wish for. And of course, the sermonette man, when we make the offering announcement, it's usual to remind people of the physical blessings that flow from obedience to God and faith. We have also examples in the Bible of many of God's servants who owned or administered great wealth. People like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may have lived in tents, but they had vast amounts of material wealth. Then there was Joseph, who administered an entire country and saved the world at that time. Daniel was administrator in the two first empires of the world. Vast areas were responsible to him. He had access to incredible wealth. Then there was King David, King Solomon. David's war booty was staggering. I live in a place called Plymouth, and we have a local hero of several hundred years ago, a certain Francis Drake. He made a voyage to the detriment of Spain, but it benefited this country with about 3 years' worth of the national exchequer. Hence, he was dubbed Sir Francis Drake. Didn't help our relations with Spain, of course. Many years ago, I saw the film Fiddler on the Roof. I was accused of being Jewish earlier today. I'm not Jewish. I'm Cornish. We're much more careful with money than Jews. And I empathized with the character played by Topo when he asked, would it upset some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? If I were a rich man, I'm not going to burst into song. We have in the Bible someone of fabulous wealth who in a dream was asked by God, ask what I shall give you. His reply is recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. His answer was, give therefore your servant an understanding heart. The alternative translation of understanding is a hearing, a listening heart, to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, your so great a people? Solomon's priority was the wisdom to be a good king, the knowledge to do his job. We, like Solomon, need to be preparing for a future job. We have been given already the instruction manual, which we need to be studying and applying. There's a very familiar but also very important scripture for us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Moses recorded for us, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Eternal, my God, commanded me, that you shall do so in the land where you go to possess. Keep, therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Eternal our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What an amazing promise. What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart, or that they depart, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. We aren't born with wisdom. We need to acquire it by listening, by studying, by reading the Bible. And also, of course, James reminds us that if we lack wisdom, we ask God for it. What nation is so near that God will answer and supply what we need? Proverbs tell us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. And James tells us, if any of us lack wisdom, which I believe we all do, I'm losing my wisdom teeth. I've yet to have the wisdom to catch up with me yet. Let us ask of God, and it shall be given to us. What an amazing promise. But I was asking about wealth, treasure, riches, money. Let's consider another very sobering scripture before we go on to that. In Mark chapter 10, after a meeting with a young man who obviously made an enormous impression on Christ, Christ offered him a place amongst his disciples. But the young man was extremely wealthy, and when he asked Christ, what do I yet lack, having already explained he had kept all the commandments, Christ said, give your money away and follow me. That was a step too far for the young man. And then Christ looked about, starting in verse 23 of Mark 10, said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? The disciples were astonished at his words. People with wealth could have their own copy of the Bible, something we take for granted. Not a copy of the Bible, I beg your pardon. They were fortunate they could have a copy of Isaiah or one of the other, perhaps smaller books. A wealthy man could have that, not the normal population. A wealthy man would be able to spend time with a rabbi. A wealthy man would have had so many advantages in a physical term. The disciples were astonished at this. Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure. I thought, that's interesting. We don't use that expression in that way. I think we would now say beyond measure. Never mind. Saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. We all need miracle after miracle after miracle to find a place in the kingdom of God. We're not going to do it on our own strength. We're going to have to have the wisdom which we ask God for to learn how to do this so that God can work with us, train us, punish us when necessary. With man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Sorry, I'm reading this from my notes. I should read it from the Bible. I might have misrecorded them. Then Peter began to say unto him, look, we've left all and have followed you. Jesus answered and said, truly I say to you, that no man has left house, or brothers, or sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mother, children, and lands. Then a bit of a stinger. With persecutions. If you want an easy life, this isn't the easiest way to get wealth. With persecutions. But then, on a very positive note, and in the world to come, eternal life, something absolutely priceless. Bill Gates isn't going to be able to buy that one. Our priority must be wisdom over wealth. An inability to correctly administer what we have physically now could well exclude us from our place in a vast eternal plan. In Proverbs, we have the promise, the reward of humility and the fear of the eternal are riches, honor, and life. God doesn't forget his children. It's just that we cannot look to money and think that is the answer. We live in a society where covetousness is encouraged at every turn. The Euro Millions lottery. People get into the top 100 rich list from winning a lottery. One person out of millions who's bought a ticket becomes a multi-millionaire. But people who win the lottery, it's often the start of their troubles. Many people who've won lottery money have become bankrupt within 3 years, going from nothing back to worse than nothing in 3 years, with money beyond what all of us in this room could have put together. They managed to destroy their lives from the misuse of money. There's another proverb which says, labour not to be rich. Why do you think I work? I work to be rich. Well, to survive. Oh, and there's another scripture, of course, where we work, if, you know, the person who stole, work so I are able to give. A completely different thing. Get to give? It's a bit of a strain on human nature, isn't it? But that's what we need to do. We work not to be rich, but to be able to help other people. Labour not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Will you set your eyes, and this really, really reads with quantitative easing nowadays. Will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Welcome to Great Britain. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, including prosperity, if you can manage it and administer it wisely. But if God loves you, he may withhold prosperity because he has a greater prize for you. So don't be discouraged if you're short of money. Rich people who enjoy their wealth now have already had their reward. If they have been selfishly stealing from their workforce, they've had their prosperity. It won't be a future in tomorrow's world for them. God can add to us prosperity, but our trust must be in God and not in money.